field.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In reading the analysis, well, one, let me ask you, what effect is this going to have?
Representative Gates. I thought you were finished. Go ahead. Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The effect that this will have is that there will no longer be a mandate on the books that requires a 10% consumption of blended fuel in Florida.
Representative Mayfield.
Follow up. Well, what is going to happen to the three-quarters of the service stations that currently offer blended fuels?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't believe that there will be effect on those who offer unblended fuels.
Representative Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, if we're taking the requirement out of having blended fuels and you have three-quarters of the service stations that offer blended fuels, how are they, if we're taking this out, then does that mean that they will have to start offering non-blended fuels?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, they will not. Anyone that would like to offer blended fuel will have the opportunity. Those who would like to offer unblended fuel, they will have the opportunity to do that. And thus is the nature of the free market.
Representative Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I believe the service stations currently do offer unblended fuel. I passed one this morning coming into Tallahassee, and it was unblended, and it was about 25% higher than it was about 20% higher than blended fuel. So how is that going to affect them?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I would disagree with the premise of the question that the cost of the fuel as it relates to the cost to the actual citizen would be impacted. One of the studies I've read indicates that the average Floridian pays a $75 per year ethanol tax because though a gallon of ethanol may cost less than a gallon of fuel, a gallon of ethanol will not take you as far as a gallon of actual fuel because the fuel density of ethanol is one-third less that of the fuel density of unblended gasoline.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have another follow-up. Also, in the analysis, it does indicate that there was a physical comment about the businesses that have moved into Florida because of our renewable portfolio standards on renewable fuels. So, what kind of, and according to the analysis, we have several that have moved here, and it's going to have an impact on it. How is that going to affect our jobs in the state? Do you not believe that the jobs are going to be affected by these businesses? And do you believe that this is sending a message to the businesses that we have encouraged to come here to build their plants for renewable energy? Is that going to affect the economy?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the message that we ought to send to all businesses, including those who are in the ethanol business, is that if your business model is dependent upon the government telling people that they have to buy your product, that is a flawed business model.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman.
Follow up.
Well, let me ask you this question. What was the purpose, and you may or may not know this, in the amendment that we just did on 7023, if we're going to offer non-blended fuel, what was the purpose of the amendment that was put on that bill?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I offered no amendments to that bill, and thus I won't speak to the purpose of those amendments.
Follow
Representative
up.
Mayfield.
What is the effect that this is going to have when people go to the service station? Are they going to be able to get non-blended fuels when they go to the service station?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the elements of a free market is that it is volatile. That's one of the benefits, that it is ever-changing. It's only when you have government control of the marketplace, like we have now, that one can predict outcomes. But the purpose of this bill is to enhance the opportunity for more retailers to be able to access unblended fuel. Right now, admittedly, Representative Mayfield, that access is diminished as a result of some of the federal production mandates that inject into the distribution chain a lot of fuel that is blended. I think we can send the message in Florida, like other states have, that ethanol mandates are not sound public policy, that that ultimately they're energy losers, they harm the environment, they increase food prices, and they harm engines. And I think that having that discussion will have a national impact, but certainly the bill would clear up the confusion that Florida retailers are under relating to their ability to sell unblended fuel without penalties. Even our staff analysis indicates that penalties for violating the existing law include fines ranging from $1,000 to $5,000, and that may have a chilling effect on those retailers utilizing distribution of unblended fuel.
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman.
This is going to be the final follow-up for right now, and I'll come back, and all your questions will be answered. I just want to give everybody else an opportunity. Go ahead.
Okay. Since there is a federal requirement, then how is this going to affect that? Because we are under a federal requirement to have this done.
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're actually under no federal requirement to have this done because this is a consumption mandate. The federal mandate is a production mandate. So while the federal government can require a certain amount of fuel that goes into the distribution line to be blended, there's not a requirement that Floridians, our constituents, actually consume that energy. We, in fact, can consume unblended fuel if we so choose. One of the pieces of evidence for that is the fact that Gate Petroleum, a company that does a lot of business in Florida, has decided to sell a lot more unblended fuel to meet the needs of the market.
Representative Williams, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was actually enjoying the volley back and forth, and so I appreciate that education. Representative Gates, what other types of ethanol options are out there?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll only speak to the ethanol that is actually used in Florida, and right now 100% of the ethanol that is actually used in our filling stations today is corn-based ethanol. There is some belief among some that we can produce cellulose-based ethanol, but that is not currently a drop of that has not yet been produced in Florida or used.
Representative Williams.
Follow-up. It seems like you know this issue backwards and forward. I've received a lot of emails from constituents on this repeal. Can you tell me in what other states do they have other types of ethanol being used that you refer to?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm unaware of the energy blends in other states.
Representative Williams.
Thank you. You talked about the only type of ethanol that's being used right now is corn-based, and I understand the impact to our food supply and those concerns that you may have. But do you believe that it would send, by repealing this provision, do you believe that it would send the wrong message to further research and development of other types of ethanol-based fuels that would be drivers for the economy, create new businesses within the state and within the country?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nothing in the bill prohibits R&D, and one would hope that in a free market, R&D could still flourish.
Representative Williams.
Understand that R&D could still flourish. Do you believe that repealing this fuel standard would send the wrong message to businesses who would want to come into Florida to produce and to manufacture and create jobs around this particular fuel standard?
Representative Gates.
Representative Williams, I'd refer you to my prior answer that if someone's business model is dependent upon a government mandate, it's probably not a good business model.
Representative Williams.
Thank you for that. And I think if you had more bill slots, you would probably
find... For a question.
Yes. Question to Representative Mayfield.
To Representative Gates.
Okay. The prior bill that we had from DAX 7023, there was an amendment in there that Representative Mayfield brought up. Can you speak to the importance or the significance of that as it relates to your repeal, knowing that you did not put forth the amendment, but what would the impact be?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that would be mooted by the fact that there would no longer be a mandate once the legislation is all engrossed.
Representative Mayfield, was that adequately answered? I'll give you the opportunity to answer as well, since it...
Well, I need to get with the Ag Commission and find out what was the purpose of that.
Okay. Yes. Representative Williams, do you have another? We'll go back to anyone else on the committee with a question. Seeing none, we'll go back to Representative Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Gates, are you also, when you made the comment about the corn supply and the food, are you aware that there are other sources out there, renewable energy? As a matter of fact, there's a company that is in Florida that does Algenol. Are you familiar with that company?
Well, let me first answer that by saying that's algae to ethanol, and it's a particular company that's called Algenol, just for clarification. Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm aware of the existence of the company.
Representative Mayfield.
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman. So in your comment of the fact that corn was one of the reasons to do the repeal because of the food supply, would it not be true that there's other sources out there for renewable energy that's being used other than corn?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would disagree with that statement because there is not any algae to ethanol actually being used in the blended fuel in Florida today. Absolutely none.
Representative Mayfield.
Thank you. And going back to your comment that the corn is one of the reasons to repeal this for food supply, are you also aware that the majority of a lot of the corn that we do produce is being submitted overseas, and it's not necessarily the fact that the corn is being used for ethanol reproduction?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 25% of the corn that's grown in this country is used for fuel. On a recent trip to Rwanda, former President Bill Clinton specifically cited ethanol mandates as a reason for food riots and starving people, the poorest people on this planet. And so, yes, I am aware that corn grown in the United States is used to sustain life around the planet.
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman.
I'm going to give you three more follow-ups. Go ahead.
How many other states have repealed their renewable portfolio standards when it comes to renewable energy?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know Hawaii has. I'm unaware of other states that have, but I know there are others who have.
Representative Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Members, any other questions? Representative Comby.
Representative Gates, do you believe the price of non-blended fuel is priced higher today because of the existing mandate?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's possible. I think the greater impact is the impact of federal subsidies that artificially deflate the price of ethanol.
Representative Comby.
Do you believe that the limited supply of non-blended would cause the price to be higher today because of the mandate?
Representative Gates.
That's possible.
Any other questions? Okay, members. Oh, Representative Mayfield.
Based on Mr. Cummings' comment, do you know how much blended fuel is shipped into the United States to meet that demand?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do not.
Representative Mayfield.
Do you believe that when we do this, then it will discourage businesses to open up in the state of Florida to come up with ways of other renewable fuel sources, that will require us to import more of that renewable fuel sources in from other countries, just like we're having to import our fuel from other countries?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that logic is a bit circular, because if we get rid of mandates, then we won't need to import fuel to meet those mandates.
Okay, members, any other questions? Yes, Representative Stewart, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair.
Mic's not on.
Is your mic?
Oh, it's not on. Sorry. I've got a cold. I can't see either. Yes, I just wanted to ask. And I think that we had spoke, and I wanted to ask this question. The environmental community has been approached, and have you any input from that?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The environmental community is a big umbrella. I know that in 2011, Al Gore, a pretty well-renowned environmentalist, said that the environmental benefits of any ethanol mandates or subsidies were, and I quote, trivial.
Representative Stewart.
Follow up. And I have been, and the Sierra Club has taken a neutral position on this particular bill, but I did want to ask if there are any other future discoveries for renewables without it being corn, what would you say to this restriction?
Representative Gates.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. I'd wish them the best of luck in a free market without a government mandate.
Great. Members, we're going to go to public testimony. We have Sam Ard from the Florida Cattlemen's Association. Waves in support of the bill. We've got Ray Hodge with Southeast Milk. Waves in support of the bill. And we have Patrick Alm from Algenol Biofuels. Be recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I'll be brief. Algenol is an industrial biotechnology company commercializing an algae-based technology to produce ethanol and other biofuels. We're located in Bonita Springs in Fort Myers. We have 120 employees, including 60 with advanced degrees. We've raised $190 million over the last, since we were founded in 2006 by Florida residents. I think it's a good example of a public-private partnership to the extent that after being founded with private money, we received some support from the government and was able to go back into the private sector and raise an additional $90 million. Our focus right now is on operating our pilot scale facility in Fort Myers. It's operating now. I'd extend an invitation to anybody on the committee to come visit and see it. We'll be scaling that operation up throughout the year. And we are also talking to landowners, utilities in Florida about vetting commercial sites to continue to grow in Florida. Our technology does not require farmland, food crop, or fresh water. Florida has all of the things that we need to continue to grow. So do other states. And we respect the issues around mandates and traditional ethanol. But I think it's important to note that when we go into the investment community, this sends a very bad signal about continuing to grow in Florida.
Thank you very much. Bobby Likas.
Question.
Bobby Likas.
Damn.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Bobby Likas, and I own and operate Bobby Likas Car Clinic Service, located in Pensacola, Florida, for 42 years. And we've serviced more than 175,000 automobiles over the past 42 years. In addition, I host Bobby Likas Car Clinic, an actually syndicated radio broadcast, and I've answered 100,000 car questions live on air, many of which have addressed the ethanol issue with regard to engine damage. And I strongly oppose the bill. Thank you. Thank you, representatives, for the time.
Thank you. Thank you for coming here, Mr. Likas. Members, we're at the end of our extended time, so I'd like to accept a motion to temporarily pass this bill today, and it will be my intention to place this bill on our next agenda. Is there such a motion? So moved. Is there any objection? Without objection, members, thank you. We will pass that that motion, and we will adjourn based on a motion by Vice Chair Representative Rooney, and we are adjourned.
Chairman, I think that logic is a bit circular because if we get rid of mandates, then we won't need to import fuel to meet those mandates.
Okay, members, any other bill today, and it will be my intention to place this bill on our next agenda.